All kinds of good stuff happening, so we don't know. All right, let's bow for a silent prayer. Appreciate your prayers for me this morning, too. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for our families and friends in the Lord, and we thank you for your grace and your blessings on our lives. And we pray this morning that we might understand the things that we study, that we would apply them in our lives. We thank you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're looking at some of the things involved in demon influence in our lives. Just remember, just because you're attacked by a demon, it doesn't mean that you're a bad Christian. They generally attack the most, the ones that have the most impact in the angelic conflict. But beginning this morning, we have some more ideas. People are under demonic possession or demon influence, have a death wish. And God is about life. It's about spiritual life, physical life, good life, healthy life, prosperous life. It really is about those things. So when we get these thoughts in our head, might want to consider it's not coming from you, but a demon is putting them into your head. A deteriorating mental condition, as with the Israelites in the wilderness, they were negative to the Word of God, negative to God, and rejected the protocol for living the life they were supposed to live. And their soul went downhill. In fact, we'll be on that in Psalms chapter 1. And practicing idolatry, Idolatry, and remember, idolatry is not just about an idol or a statue. It's anything that you look to for your security. So if you have a lot of money in the bank, that could be your idol. If you have all your insurance and finance set up, if you're not looking to the Lord to provide for you, you've made that thing an idol. So it's not just about worshiping demons and stuff like that. Direct or indirect involvement in any of the various forms of the occult. Obviously, the Ouija board is up at the top of the list, or one of them. Tarot cards, that's another. Children's cartoons and comics, that's demonic. Shows they have on TV is demonic. And so you have to watch out for this stuff, because it comes about separation. That's one of the first things I learned as a Baptist, is that separate yourself from those who do not walk with the Lord. And very strong in the regular Baptist church. Total involvement in the world system. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And I'm afraid that it's really hard to keep that stuff out of your head, because we watch so much TV. We're indoctrinated in government schools, and it's very difficult to keep that from coming into your life. And then your kids get involved in it, and then they bring it home into the family life. So we have to watch that sort of stuff. The only way I found successful in it is by setting aside a time during the day where you not only pray, but get that stuff out of you. And I've been thinking long and strong about predictions of the future, and I see we're not going back to normal, or what we had as normal. America has been doing this for so long. We haven't hit rock bottom yet. And however long rock bottom is, we add to that time there. Now, remember, tick-tock, days and weeks are going by. Now, when you hit rock bottom, let's say they repent. America repents. Well, I haven't seen any indication of, in any way, of the American people repenting, let alone Christians. And then after they do repent, how long is it going to take to come up with a solution for that business? And that's an indeterminate number. We don't know how long that would take. Then it's going to take all that period of time to crawl up out of the hole. So how much time are we looking at? 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? So if there is to be a normal, it's going to be long gone down the road after I'm off of the scene. But the message that needs to be proclaimed, and it's getting down to basically two messages. One, evangelism. We need, we've got tracks in the back. We got to get a track rack, find one out for the out front. I encourage people to use those to witness to others. And the other one is repent. People need to repent. They need to turn back to God, and they need to get under the Word of God. Now, I've watched the last 30 or 40 years, and Christians have not been turning to God. They have not been turning to sound teaching. Like Paul says, a time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but run after teachers with their itching ears. Well, how long has that been going on? 40 years? How long is it going to take to get back to the place we left, we departed from the Lord? 30, 40, 20? So it gets to be beyond the realm of possibility. Seems more doubtful. If they haven't done it by now, you know, it's like driving a car at 100 miles an hour towards a tree. And there has to be a point in time along there that you think, well, maybe I should put the brakes on. If you put the brakes on 10 feet in front of the tree, are you going to avoid it? No. We've been rushing towards the edge of the precipice too long. Ship of state, that's an old metaphor, because a nation has been regarded as a state and a ship. And what we've had is we've allowed fools to run the helm of the ship for too long while we've been down on the promenade dancing and drinking. Do you get the imagery? And the fools are drunk and stoned, and they're running the ship breakneck speed at rocks. Well, somewhere along the line, you got to get control of the helm. If they have the door locked, you got to get an axe and chop it down. You got to get in there. And if you do get control of the helm, how long is it going to take to stop that ship? That's not to alarm you, but I've always been interested in solutions. How do we live through that? What are we supposed to do? Well, first thing, economically, don't buy anything you don't need. Don't give the corporations their money. We need food, that's about it. We have enough clothing to last us for a few years, don't you guys? Have enough shirts and pants in your closet to last? Don't buy any more. Don't buy a car. Don't spend your money. Save it. Put it in gold and silver, whatever you want to do with it. If you do buy something, buy a durable good. You know what those are? Durable goods are like shovels and hoes and rake tools. Tools that help you make a living, or tools that you can use in your house and around the area. But don't be wasteful. Don't be going for the luxury items. And stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Another point is extreme negativity and hostility toward the gospel. That's a one surefire thing. Just like somebody that broke the track rack off of the pole out there. There's no need to do that. It's been there like, what, 40 years?
Plus the windows.
It just shows their demonic hatred for what this church stands for. By the way, I was told that the bank sold their property here next door. Yeah, I know, go figure. The other one was sold out to Umpqua. Isn't that on Churn Creek? Well, this one, they sold it to Shasta County Office of Education. And I heard they're going to put a gate up there. So, I mean, whoever parks next door, they're not going to be able to use their property. So, being totally controlled by one or more various lusts. When I say totally controlled, I mean just by that is you live in your lusts all the time. You don't get out of it. There's no filling of the spirit. You know, most of us have a problem with our lust factor. And every one of us have the lust problem in the flesh nature. But we break the cycle of it by confession of sin, filling of the Holy Spirit, and so forth. But then you go back into it. Well, you know, like people say, oh, I want this, I want that. Well, that's a lust. You know, we all have that problem. The flesh nature lusts. It's all it can do is lust. It's all it wants to do is lust. And your lust factor changes by your age bracket. So the lust of an 18-year-old is different than the lust of an 80-year-old, right? You have the lust for the opposite sex and all of that business, and then it kind of changes. You have a lust for a house and furniture and kids and all of that. Nothing wrong with owning a house or having furniture, but you know what I'm saying. And then some people start to develop a lust for power. You know, they got all the stuff they want. They want to have power, or they want to have more money. They got enough, but everybody wants more. And then as you get up in the 50s, 60s, they got a lust for Winnebagos. They see them on TV, and they say, oh, that'd be so much fun driving across the country. And I guess it would be, but it's just a lust factor. And then there's wanderlust. I categorize 28 categories of lust. And we all will experience most of them at different times in our lives. So you just have to be aware of that. But somebody who's demon-possessed or demon-influenced, that's all they live in. They live in their lust and they live for their lust. And once they get one lust gratified, what do? Go on to the next. It's like packing sand down a rat hole. It just never stops. Absorption into various forms of escapism. Do you know what entertainment is? It has the same idea as the word amusement. And it's a distraction from reality. So, I remember in the movie theaters when we used to go, and they had a little sign that said, escape from reality. And I thought, how well, that is the absolute truth. Movies are an escape from reality. So is TV. So are video games. Why would anybody want to escape from reality? Well, their reality is not that hot. When you think about, as you get older, you think about your lives. You know, why is it that you find every apartment with a single older woman or man in it, they sit around watching TV most of the time? Why? Because the outside world doesn't offer anything attractive anymore. It's kind of painful, kind of sad. You start losing people along the way, having problems with your body, and you just want a little moment of distraction. That's all. Well, then it turns to all day, right? And then you get caught up in your TV programs and the rest of it. But and these are battles that we have to fight generally every day of our lives. I wish I was able to do daily classes, because every day that you teach the Word of God, it's like starting that day all over again. It's just, I'll shoot for it, but I haven't done it so far. It's Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, even though the outer man is perishing, the inner man is being renewed day by day. Well, this is where God wants us to live, as in the new man, but we're living so much in the outer man. It creates tension in our souls. So with Paul, he was renewed every day. Well, how do we get renewed spiritually? Intake of doctrine and the filling of the Holy Spirit, that puts it simply. But to have the doctrine, because doctrine and the Word of God is the vehicle by which we get our faith. So when we combine the two, we have epinosis, and that's setting this everything back to normal. It's like, I always like that magic paper that you use. You write on it, and you pull it, and it comes off. Well, the writing on it is the pressure of your life, the things that you have to deal with, the negative thinking, just all that garbage. And it just makes an imprint on your soul. And after a while, it's like it becomes gobbledygook. But if you pull the corner of the sheet up, it takes it all off. And you start all over again the next day. And that's what spiritual renewal does for us. It takes that garbage out of our soul, doesn't recreate us, it just reinvigorates us. And we need that. You know, you live every day, you got to have this every day. So if I can't do it for you, you know, you've got tapes, you have access to the internet, I assume, and you can listen to my classes. So what should I listen to? I don't know, don't care. Anything just pops up. Just concentrate on it, and you'll know, you'll feel it, you can tell that something remarkable is happening inside of you. And that's what we need in our lives, instead of getting sucked down this hole that we see going on in our country. Addiction to drugs and the forms of music that go with and encourage drug use. Rock and roll being one. Of course, the main vehicle, rock and roll. Did anybody know the roots of rock and roll? See, I was alive when it all started. I existed before rock and roll did. sounds so old. Bill Haley and the Comets were the first one that came out. Rock Around the Clock. Anybody remember that one? Do you remember that, Chris? I can still sing it today. Bebopalula. God, that's so stupid. Anybody know the roots of rock and roll? Where it came from and who brought it into America?
The blacks
from West Africa. And it was the music and beat. Beat's a very important thing. 80 beats a minute. that emulates the heart. But it's the music that they use for worshiping demons. And they were shocked when they came to America that they were using that music in this country. And they used it for the worship of demons. And then it made the crossover to the white culture with Jerry Lewis and Elvis Presley and one other guy. And it became like rockabilly. Anyway, it's off the subject. But sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know what that rock and roll, that expression, what it was used for? Having sex. Before all of that happened, our country was not that way. A decent country. Back in the 40s and 50s. We had our problems, obviously, but it wasn't that. Pornography is part of it. Prostitution, sexual aberration, sexual addiction, certainly wanting to change your sex. See, this is not normal sin. Normal sin is sins that the flesh nature produces, but then there's sins against nature, if you will, and the God of nature. In other words, God, we do a lot of crazy things as sinful people here on earth, but there's some things that God has established, that he created a man for a woman or a woman for the man, that he created two sexes, and you are what you are. You were born that way, and however you were born, that's who you be. Trying to change that is going against the divine order of everything. The divine order. And they do that through DNA. I mean, DNA, when they start manipulating and changing people's DNA, that means they're going against the very essence of the Creator, because that's how he established us. And I'm afraid, I don't know what's going to stop that. It's man wanting to become a god. And this is out of our realm. God's going to have to deal with these people, because we can't. We don't know what to do. Things to expect. It's not going to get better, not for a long time. Every one of us needs to be prepared spiritually, physically, financially. You need to be able to live just like you are for 2 months at least, preferably 6 months. McDonald's said last week they're doubling their prices this summer. Well, that just shows you how far bad this thing is. And it's still going down. Gold has now hit 22, 32, something like that. And it keeps going up. Criminals still running our government, still bankrupting the country, still allowing millions of illegal immigrants. It's an army invading America. They're going to get their guns after they're in here. And then you're going to see them. They're having shootouts in towns in Texas between the immigrants and the Texas people. I don't think I want to move to Texas. Arizona, New Mexico, same old Florida. So it's an invasion from the southern border, Chinese from the northern border. That guy that's in the New Testament is unable to speak. What do we call that in the old King James? Dumb. Because he had been demonized or possessed by a demon. They use the word devil, but it's actually the word for demon. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a demon. And when the devil was, or demon was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Well, this is strange, because Israel was God's nation on earth. The true Israelites were his people. And they never seen this done before. The demon cast out. I go back one step further. How did a demon ever get to that place where that guy had a demon in him? Because Christ did a lot of casting out of demons amongst his own people. What the heck? How far back down had these people gone to allow this? And it's not just one isolated case. This was going on all over the city. The demon possession of people. It was so bad that they murdered their Savior and their Creator and their God. Another case, a guy was blind and dumb, Matthew 12:22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a demon, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Now, this is what we're talking about, self-destructive actions and tendencies. Was this to the benefit, this demon possession of this poor guy? Did it benefit him in any way? No. And our God does things only that benefit us. Who do you suppose is behind that? Satan. The demons had taken over the country. They had placed their people in the temple system. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees. Satan had placed these people there. They're the ones that gave Christ the most trouble. Yet they were like priests. Big shots, eh? And what did these religious people do? Well, they're the ones behind the murder of Jesus Christ. Just to show you how far down this thing had gotten. It was really bad. Whatever ideal was there was long gone. Maybe it was there under David. Not so much under Solomon. So maybe there's a few good kings in Israel's history. But the rest of the time, there are a bunch of evil men and women. As we've stated, self-destructions and actions and tendencies are caused by demons. It's not that the individual, when I think of these people who are hurting themselves, screaming and crying and gashing their flesh, I think of them one time as a little boy or girl, loved by their parents and grandparents, running around in the yard playing. And a few short years later, they're trying to kill themselves. Is that the presence of God in their lives or the presence of demons? You walk or drive around town, you see all of these homeless people. I mean, Reading is getting more and more of them. At one time, they were little kids climbing trees and running and playing. What happened? You know, our responsibility, the debt of love we owe, is at least to witness to them. Tell them about how much the Savior loves them and died for them so that they can have eternal life. Give them a track or two, something to read, maybe a couple bucks or some food of some kind, but make sure you witness to them, because I'd hate to see my grandchildren out in the street like that, wouldn't you? So that'll never happen. You don't know what one bad decision will take you in your life, and you could end up there. So at least witness to them. If they don't want it, that's their choice, but at least you've fulfilled your part. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. You see, the word to means purpose, for the purpose of killing him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Mark 9:22. If thou canst do anything, all things are possible to who? To the one who believes, or to him who believes. He's talking about himself. All things are possible, but it also applies to you. You can do this too, if you believe. And I think one of the reasons why Reading has avoided much of the garbage that's going on today, not totally obvious, but Reading has a rich and deep background of being a conservative Bible-oriented area, going back to I don't know how long ago. Not so much anymore, but there still is that echo of it resounding through our area. And when Satan goes and sends his demons out, if it's met by an army of believers who are witnessing the people about Christ, kind of puts a kibosh on what his plans are. So we've got to become, if we're not, a witnessing church. Try to help as much as we can with the tracts back there. But you can get a tract, hand it out, tell them about the Lord, show them a little bit of kindness, and then it's sent up to them. There is demon possession, demon influence, and demon harassment, which is to disturb persistently, to torment, as with troubles or cares. Remember, God is a God of peace. Satan is a God of confusion, right? So if there's confusion or craziness going on in the head, who's doing that, God or the devil? Demons are behind that. This is one of the problems of stress. If you're subjected to long-term stress, and tarasso in the Greek is the word for stress, and it's an agitation of the soul, you've got to break that cycle of peace. So whatever it takes to get you into that peaceful state, that's what you got to do. Prayer, memorizing scripture, concentrating on the word, even if that's all you do for the day, sometimes it's all you should do for the day, is to not work, say, well, blah, 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 I got bills. Yeah, I know. But if you're going crazy, what good is that going to do you? You got to take control of your psychological situation. To bother continuously, to persecute, to trouble by repeated attacks. Paul, that's the 2 Corinthians 12 passage, was continually harassed by a demon. And it buffeted him, it punched him, it's always smacking him around. You think, well, wait a minute. This guy was the top of the apostles. He was brightest bulb in the drawer. He knew the word of God like nobody's business. And I just don't see how God could assign a demon to Paul. Because he was doing everything that God wanted him to do. All right, how could God do that? Well, he explains it. To punch him so that he would not be lifted up in pride. What's a problem that very intelligent, highly educated people have? Pride. Because they know more than most people out there. In fact, the word is phusios. And it says that knowledge puffeth up. And when you start getting a lot of knowledge in your life, you get puffed up. Now, knowledge is great, we need it. But the problem with knowledge is, it must be applied to your experience. When you apply it to your experience, that humbles you. So your knowledge becomes wisdom. Well, I'm afraid we have more knowledge than we have knowledge applied to experience. And you do get lifted up in pride. You don't have more money than the average person. You don't have more physical strength than the average person, but you have education. Go talk to people that go to college. Talk to them. See what you come up against. Well, they look down their nose at you. You know, the long proboscis. And you think you're some village idiot. I mean, I can run across that at my age. And I knew more than they'll ever know before they were born. But they think they know more than everybody. So the only way to avoid that is just to knock you around, knock you down. So you always come back, as you see later on in 2 Corinthians 12, he gets into that he delights in weaknesses and injurious insults and ananka, having to go through things you don't want to go through, etc. He delights in that because he realized that the end of his weakness, when he reached that end, he was there with the strength of Christ. And he was able to go through it. But he realized that it wasn't him and his knowledge that pulled him through. It was Christ. And Lee, could you turn that off, please? And then when he stood trial, He says, and the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that I may preach the gospel to the Gentiles. But who gave him the strength to do that? You see, the average person out there, if you look at their house, their car, whatever they got going on, they'll brag about it. Just to make sure you see it, they'll have t-shirts. Been to Maui, been to Lanai, wherever they went to on vacation, and they wear their bragging around in the clothes. Watch the Beverly Hills Housewives and look at them, and they got Chanel and all that. Some wear the signs on them just so you know that they are wearing something expensive. They're always bragging, and God doesn't like bragging. So when you get knocked down and you can't get out of it in your own strength or what you know, what's left? What's left for you? You can't do it. All your learning in the world won't do it. Your physical strength and prowess, that won't do it. So what's left? Who do you turn to? Who's going to pull you through it? God. And that's where we get into this point. God allows these pressures to hit us to keep us humble and to keep us dependent upon him. Or else you're going to walk around chest stretched out and say, I did this with my own strength. And that would go like, there are people that God prospers financially. They're no longer in our church, but that's what happened to Israel. He says, you're going to get to the place of prosperity, and you're going to forget where it came from. You're going to say, well, I did this. He says, no, I prospered you. And the only way he could teach him a lesson was take it away. And I've seen that happen here in the church too. Mary Magdalene cast 7 demons out of her, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Now, she was a prostitute when she got saved, and she became very, very thankful that the Lord has saved her. Nobody gave the Lord the devotion that she did, not even the apostles. But if we ever took a step backwards and asked, where did that come from? How did she get to that place of prostitution? There are 2 kinds of prostitutes they had in those days. One was a temple prostitute, where men and women, because they had male and female prostitutes, would come to the temple, and the way the Babylonian system worked, the prostitute, the temple prostitute, was an appendage of the demon that they were worshiping. So when men and women joined their bodies to these prostitutes, they become joined. That's kind of sick stuff, isn't it? But they became joined to that demon that they worship. And so they were regarded at a higher level than street prostitutes. And what is a street prostitute? Somebody turns tricks for money. That's it. They're selling their bodies for money. So whether she was a street prostitute or a temple, maybe she started out as a temple prostitute and ended up on the street, who knows? That's probably where she picked up the demons that drove her to street prostitution if she went that far. And she had 7 demons in her body. So she was demonic possessed. And that's what was going on in the church. Men in the church were still going back to the temples. They were having sex with temple Christian men. The doctrine of separation sure comes to play in here, doesn't it? And when you join your body to another body that's demonically possessed, you run the risk of being demonically possessed yourself, or at the very least, to have a demon attached to you. Now, what's the difference? Well, a demon is like, if you look at my body, would be attached to me, go around with me all the time. But demon possession would be inside of me. And we know that demons cannot indwell Christians. Why? Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if he tried to get in, which wouldn't happen, what would the Holy Spirit do with him? Kick him out. The body is holy. It's a temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in every born-again believer around the world at one time. So pretty much guarantee that, in fact, we could get into the doctrine of it. To be sealed with the Holy Spirit, as I taught this years ago, a guy's going through town after town on a shopping trip. So he goes in the store and he buys a few things or that, and then he goes on to the next store and the next town. Well, what they do or did in those days, let's say you come in and you buy some grain or I don't know, anything. They would put it in a clay pot, put a lid on it, they'd pour wax around to seal it, and then the owner, the purchaser of that stuff, would have his signet ring, and then he would press it into the clay. What did that do? Guaranteed that nothing else could get in, and what was in couldn't get out. It was sealed, and the signet ring illustrated who the owner of that pot was. So when the purchaser is through with his shopping trip, maybe he's going back to some other city, he's out there looking for stuff for his store, and he comes by to pick up his item. All he has to do is produce what? The signet ring. And then he picks it up and he takes it with him. That's what redemption is. Redemption isn't so much the looking at our salvation at the moment of salvation, but looking at when Christ comes back to purchase that which he's bought with his own blood. And it's sealed, and the Holy Spirit is our sealed unto the day of redemption. So by that, it means that when you believe on Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit come to indwell your body. Having done that and regenerate you and all, a bunch of other stuff, having done that, then he seals the body. And that means no demon can get in and nothing that's inside can get out. It's a guarantee of whatever is inside will remain intact for the day of redemption. And what is what inside? You. The clay pot is what? Your mortal, your flesh body. Who's inside? The new man. That which Christ regenerated and created. And I've had to use that a couple times in my life. That whatever I am on the inside, that's what I be. That's what I am. And I will be that way for all of eternity. And the sealing of the Holy Spirit proves that. And that's what we want to feed and take care of, is that new guy or gal that's on the inside of us. Father, thank you for the study. We pray a blessing in Christ's name. Amen.